And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8:32. The truth, that's the title of my message today. The truth that will make you free. Welcome aboard. Love to have you. I hope you'll receive a blessing today, that God's mercies will shine upon you. And when all is said today, that you will be glad that you listened in. I want to thank you. I want to thank the fine people at the Just Jesus Radio Network for allowing me to be a part of their Saturday morning lineup. Okay, let's get into the Word then. Now, if you want to know the truth, which we all do, of course, the truth of God's Word, especially as I feel led by the Holy Spirit, well, excuse me, little frog there crept in, then you've come to the right place. You've come to the right place. If you want me to tell you I love you, I will tell you the truth of God's Word. You know, some people say, well, that's a different kind of love, isn't it? Your love and God's love. Well, it all depends. If I'm representing what the Lord laid on my heart, it's all in one, isn't it? It sure is. Now, if you went to the doctor and he knew you had a terminal disease, perish the thought, but since he did not want to hurt your feelings, he told you a lie instead, would you be happy? Well, of course you would. Why? Because that's what you wanted to hear, right? Now, if I told you you're a sinner headed for hell, unless you repented and gave your life to Jesus Christ, would you be glad? Well, of course not. Why? Because that's not what you want to hear, right? We're getting somewhere, right? Okay, now, if I told you that this King James Bible that I have in front of me is the inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of Almighty God, would you believe me? If you did, you would be telling the truth. If you did not, then you would be calling God a liar. Why? Well, because the same God that gave you birth, not once, but twice, has promised that His Word shall be preserved forever, purified, and elevated even above His own name. Wow. Well, what's my whole point, you may ask? Why do I speak in somewhat of a riddle, maybe? Well, because I promised to tell you the truth. To tell you the truth. You see, God's Word is truth. How many of you know that every word in this precious book of the King James 1611 authorized version of the Bible was authored by God? Now, you may say, well, I saw an error. Well, that would be a typo, wouldn't it? Because God doesn't print lies. Okay, now, in the beginning, all the way through to Amen, in Revelation 22, what Moses wrote, God told him to write. What Daniel wrote, what the minor prophets wrote, and what the apostles wrote, even the words uttered by Jesus Himself, were authored by Almighty God. And if you have a problem with that, then you're not only calling God a liar, but you're denying His salvation. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. My friends, without truth, here's the crux of the matter, without truth, there is no real love. No real love. Does that bother you? Good. then maybe you'll do something about it. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He didn't say, I am the way, the love, and the life. No. And what exactly is the truth? Are you ready? Are you ready? Obedience. That's what truth is. It's obedience to God. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That means to obey what his word says, because his word is truth. Now, there was a day when, way back, when this holy book was held in high esteem, revered and lifted up, and its author was edified. Now, today, sad to say, when a preacher stands on this book and reveals its entire counsel the way God intended, well, he becomes the most unloving person in the whole God chain of life. Yeah, he does. Oh, this unloving spirit didn't just spring up overnight, you know. The Bible, well, it's filled with unloved preachers. Yes. Remember Enoch in Genesis 24? And Enoch walked with God and was not. And God took him. His testimony was that he pleased God, and God translated him, took him home. Why? Because he spoke the truth. The truth. Why was Enoch so unpopular? He preached about the Lord's coming judgment. That was the truth. And it still is today. Not just the lost souls who may enter into your church, but those professing salvation. I've heard it over and over again, even from close family members. They'd say, who wants to go to church these days especially and hear the preacher tell them they're going to hell? Duh. Right? Doesn't sound too inviting, does it? Didn't Jesus preach the same thing, though? Didn't he? You know why the saved don't like to hear about hell when they go to church? Not that they're going there, but because of their backslidden condition. Their backslidden condition. They know they're running with the world, and if Jesus returned today, they'd be too ashamed to face him. Yes, they would. It's time to clean up our life, folks. Jesus could be here any day. He's not going to make announcements now when he's on the way. And if you're not sure you're saved, then chances are you're not. And you will go to an eternal hell. Yes, you will. There's too many people out there who've heard the gospel, know all about the gospel, know what salvation is, know what hell is, and that it's real. And if they don't get saved, that's where they're going. Yet they refuse to take that vital step. Vital step. Thinking that if there's a rapture and they see people being missing, then they will come to Christ and get saved. Because then they believe it's true. Too late. Too late. Too late, I tell you. You have tempted God. You have committed a great sin by not allowing the Holy Spirit to do his timely work in you. Have you got that? When you get saved, the Holy Spirit indwells you. Of course, if you're not saved, he's not there. You have crossed the line of no return, and you're going to hell. Oh, how's that for being loving? Wow. Well, what about Noah? Noah was a preacher of righteousness. When we think of Noah, we think of the picture books that children read. Oh, yes. In Noah's time, people rejected Christ, rejected what God wanted them to do. In the days of Pharaoh, Pharaoh rejected Christ. For this reason, God said to his disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And that's what they did. If they heard it and rejected it, then their hearts became hardened. A hardened heart is set in all its ways. And if it's not loosed when the rapture happens, well, guess what? It cannot be retrieved. Cannot be retrieved. Are you ready for the rapture? Come any day. Why not? Because the restraining power of the Holy Spirit is taken out when the rapture occurs and replaced by a great delusion sent by God that will cause them who don't believe to believe a lie. A lie. And that lie will take them to hell. I truly believe that only those who enter the tribulation and have either not received the gospel or have heard and not rejected or hardened their hearts against that gospel will have a further opportunity to be saved. But at great cost. Great cost. Do you know what a guillotine is? Do you know what a chopping block is used for? Oh, that's a great cost, isn't it? People will be hiding in the hills, in the woods somewhere, when they believe in Christ in the tribulation, because they know they're being hunted by the devil's brigade. Oh, yes. On the other hand, those who have believed the lie and also believe in the Antichrist and perish in the end, and they will, joining their father, the devil, in eternal hell. No hope. All is gone, lost. Some parents today, concerned about the salvation of their children, prefer to believe they will get saved during the tribulation, even if they have knowingly rejected Christ, totally before the rapture of the church. Oh, yes. The bottom line is, and I believe this, it centers upon whether or not your denial of Christ touches on blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Now, Noah comes across as a happy hammer kind of guy, you might say. He loved to build an ark and preach the word of God. Noah wasn't loved very much. Why is that? Because he was different? Well, yes, he was different. And when God told him to build the ark, many thought he was crazy. Building an ark out in the wilderness where there was no water and rain and who knows how long. But he believed in God and he obeyed God. Obviously, he took a lot of ribbon, however. He found grace, though, in the eyes of God. If Noah was preaching in our day, people would call him a fanatic, a looney tune. You see, Noah preached against immorality that existed in his day. And just like today, people, well, they didn't like to be told what they could and could not do. Bible or no Bible. Nope. They were no different than folks today in that regard. As long as you believe in God, then get on with your life. Everybody believes in a God of some kind. Whether it was manufactured or somebody in their mind, they believed in some superior being. Enoch and Noah, two great men of God, who held the truth of God's word. Now, next we have a young lad by the name of Joseph. Joseph, you know Joseph? was anyone hated more by their own family than Joseph? Ah, sad. I mean, kids having their differences, fighting, arguing in the home is even typical today. But hating your brother so much you wanted to kill him? Come on. Genesis 37, we read, "And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report." Now, we're talking about his real father, not his Father God, okay? And in 2 Corinthians 14-17, you can read it for yourself, but "Be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness?" You know, Joseph stood against the evils of his brethren. Yes, he did. They just didn't want the little rat think, you might say, around anymore. So they plotted to get rid of him. To his brothers, Joseph was like today's, you might say, goody two-shoes. I mean, it was a bit harsh, tying him up and throwing him into a pit and all. But then they sold him into slavery because he wouldn't follow their evil ways. Today, Joseph would have preached 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 to 4, which say, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devil." Verse 2. "Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know him." And verse 4, "For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused, if it be received, with thanksgiving." You know, Joseph would not have united with the modernists. He would choose to fellowship with God than to hang out with the liberals of today. Joseph was a man of righteousness who held to the truth of God. Tell me, is there a Joseph in your family? And what about Moses? We all heard of Moses, didn't we? How many wanted Moses dead? Moses was a man of great integrity. He chose to live in poverty with his own than to share the throne of Pharaoh. Moses stood for truth. "Let my people go," he told Pharaoh. In Exodus 5, verse 1, we read, "And afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go." Oh, yes. Case after case goes on and on. I believe in freedom from, denominational rule. I believe in that. A Baptist independent fundamentalist church does not answer to a board of committee members. Neither do we answer to a pope. Or do we answer to protocol of some egotistical panel of theologian do-gooders. No. Nor do we display or read flyers and prompt letters or other dictation from some head office hundreds of miles away. We have the Word in the Holy Scriptures. We are independent, not because we place ourselves upon any pedestal, not because we don't love our brethren. No, we are independent for our great God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We are independently trusting fully in the Word of our source, our inspiration, and our direction. We hold vehemently to the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of Almighty God as preserved and given to us in the authorized King James Bible. We do indeed. Yes. And yes, we carry the same unloving ways as did Enoch, Noah, Moses, and Joseph. Oh, yes. And we hate also. We hate sin. We hate a proud look. We hate unrighteousness. We hate seeing God's word being perverted. And the greatest hate of all, we hate that old devil. Yes, we do. We hate that old devil. When you enter the doors of this sanctuary, speaking of the church, you must do so at your own risk. Why? For it is written within these hallowed walls that you will be called a sinner. You will also be called a liar, maybe. The scripture says, let God be true and every man a liar. You will be called a sinner, for the word of God says that, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yes, we have. From the altar of God, you will be fully challenged through God's word. You will be lifted up, but never exalted. You will be loved, but never pampered. You will suffer humility, but never feel proud. For God hates a proud look. Yes, he does. You will feel the flaming tentacles of hell reaching out to encompass you as you raise your voice in song to God. You will don the full armor of God. You will feel at times that God has given you too much to handle. But take heart, people. Joy cometh in the morning. Joy cometh in the morning. And you will grow virtually overnight in the nurture and admonition of Almighty God. And always remember, once you set yourself down at the feet of Jesus the Christ, nothing will be impossible. Old things will pass away. Behold, all things will become new. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. God loves you. God loves you, and so do we. And that's a truth everybody likes to hear. Everybody must hear. You know, Elijah preached the judgment too. When the people turned away from God, he wasn't loved by the world, but he preached the truth. Look at people, look at North America today, look at the world. Look at it any way you want. It's turning their backs on God more and more every day. And those who don't believe in our Christian God, our righteous and holy God, they come and bring their own gods and try to revamp our way of life with their own beliefs. Oh, God is not pleased with that. Tell me, how can they or we expect God to bless us when our governments consent to such things as homosexuality and abortion? Oh, my, it's a sad state of affairs. It is indeed. Truly, people, we are living in the end times. In the end times. And the truth, whether you like it or not, must be preached at all costs. It must be preached at all costs. Unloved? Are you unloved? Do you work all day and then go home to a house without love? Talk to Jesus. Tell him all about your troubles. Ask him to come into your life and be your friend. He's waiting to hear from you. There's no excuse for loneliness. He's waiting. Come to him. Believe on him. He died for you and me and for the sin of the whole world. And now he lives for you and for me and for the whole world that will come to him. Yes, he does. All you have to do is repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's all you have to do. That's not difficult, you know. If you say it from your heart, you don't even have to be on your knees. But be sincere. God is waiting to hear from you. He's waiting to hear you. Admit that you need him. Admit what happened at Calvary, that Jesus suffered and bled and died for the sins of the whole world. If we but repent and believe this, the gospel, we have not a thing to worry about in the afterlife. Now, if you're one of those people that just believes that there's no such thing as a real hell or a real heaven, that's the end. When you hit the grave, that's all there is to it. If you're one of those, you have my sympathy. You do. Because when Jesus comes and you are raised up out of the grave, you will go to one of two places, either heaven or hell. There's no purgatory. There's no intermediate state whatsoever. It's purgatory or hell. And purgatory doesn't exist. That's just a Catholic saying. So hell is your objective. You don't want to go there, do you? Look, I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank you for joining me here at the Just Jesus Radio Network. Fine people there. Won't you pray for us all? We're here to serve you with God's Word and to give it fully over to you that you may understand exactly what God expects from each and every one of us. We love you, and that's why we tell you the truth. For we pray in Jesus' wonderful name, and for his sake, amen. Amen.